Good morning. So Happy New Year. This is the first day of Chinese New Year. So I'm going to go through, like, you know, we go through every time, like the first year of New Year, we, as a Chinese, we go to people's house, and even on the street, we were used to be, when I was a little kid, we would say four character phrase, like really good meaning one, to bless each other. So just now, Pastor Sam was like, Gong Hei Fa Choi. It's like, you know, blessing you with a lot of prosperity. And that's like, we would keep, like, as a child, we would keep going each at each other saying the four letter words. And it's like a competition. So become a Christian. So there is also four characters, phrases that which we can greet each other on the Chinese New Year. So I'm going to go through with you together with the pinyin. So everyone can say it and see the word. And the most important one is Jesus love you. And so it's yeah, so oine. So let's practice together. So practice to your neighbor. Say yeah, so oine. Good, huh? So what you can do, you know, today, jump up to the taxi, you know, say to the taxi driver and say, yes, so I know, right? Okay. second one. Let's go to the second slide. That's the second one coming. Okay. This is like God grace overflow. It's very common to use in a Christian circle. It's called 主恩滿溢. 主恩滿溢. Okay, practice with your neighbor again. So basically, it's like God grace overflow. And another phrase that can be used, like, to your family and also people when you visit them is the peace to your family. So it's yat ga ping an. So these are good things that you can tell, you know, your next door neighbors, like Chinese neighbors, just like, yeso ai le, yat ga ping an. Good, huh? So if you want this, you can email me. I can give you the slides to go home with. Okay, so as Pastor Sam was saying, that, you know, each one of our pastoral staff is going through this series about On the Way. And Pastor Nate did a really good summary last week, so I won't go into that. So obviously, after Pastor Nate preaching first service, I told Pastor Nate, what am I going to do? You guys cover everything already. And so... this morning, I'm going to take a from interpreting the way on a different angle, and I titled my message is On the Way Together. So, you know, so really is, you know, when you think about it, there is the intrinsic in when we're talking about, are you on the way? You are not walking the way alone. You are actually with someone on the way together, and Eugene Peterson actually, you know, in his book, he say that the Jesus way is not a one-time forensic transaction. It's not that you come to Christ at that point, you say your sinner prayer, and that's it, salvation happened. He described that Jesus way is a pathway to follow a lifelong journey towards salvation. So you have the salvation when you invited Jesus Christ into your life and you call him your God and your Lord. But this salvation is continuous. This fullness of salvation is continued throughout this life journey. And on this life journey together, as I mentioned, is there is this togetherness that is in this pictures of on the way, on this journey, of lifelong journey towards salvation. And this togetherness, I can see having two dimensions. One, obviously, is the vertical dimensions. We are on the way with God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher, our guide, our light, our friends. As we are generally on this way, on this journey of towards salvation, the fullness of salvation, God is with us the whole time. So this is the vertical dimensions, that you are not alone as you are on your way. And the rest of my message I want to focus is on the horizontal dimensions, is we're looking at each other. It's the horizontal. We have peers. We have brothers and sisters. And it's not by blood, but it's simply because of Jesus Christ that we can turn to our neighbor and say, hi, brother, or hey, sister. Because we are bonded by Jesus Christ, by his blood that he shed on the cross for us. And this is that horizontal relationship that we are able to be blessed with because of Jesus Christ. Before I go on to talk about more about this, you know, horizontal relationship, one thing that I want to touch on is that about this fellowship of the fellow brother and sister is a grace of God. It's a gift from God. not necessarily everyone would have it. Even to today, like when we look for in the Bible, we have like Apostle Paul is being, you know, confined in a prison. We have like John, he was put in exile because of his faith, and he was on the island by himself, the Patmos island by himself. Even today, we have people that God called them to go to remote part of the village, you know, to translate the Bible. They spend years, the time, and to understand the local language, make friends with them, and translate the Bible. A lot of them still out there even to today, that they are on their own, there isn't a Christian community with them. And other pictures also, that there are people who are still persecuted for the faith. If you search online, there is country, people are being persecuted, and Christian or preacher are being put in prisons. And so the fact that we can actually gather on a Sunday, coming together to worship God, is by the grace of God. It is a gift from God. And so it's so easy for us, like, you know, coming Sunday and us like, oh, tired, and all this, we take it for granted that the sanctuary is going to be there, but it's not necessarily the case. And I'm going to have, like, touch on, you know, this idea of togetherness in 3 points. First, I'm going to share about is a life together, and it is a growing process together. It is a witnessing together, 3 points. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the way. A lot of time, you know, if you go back to Pastor Sam's sermon, you know, when he explained that the way is a way that at the early Christian community, when they address each other. So the way is actually is a name for a group of people called out by God. For God and in that community. So the way is never quite just a road to salvation, but it's always being identified as a community. And early Christians, you know, through the Bible, you can see in the book of Acts, people sell their possession and gather together. They live together, have a communal life. And of course, you know, this day and age, we don't do a communal life. We have our own home, but we gather on Sunday. And if I chase back, you know, these ideas of togetherness, I can actually chase back from the book of Genesis, from the day that God created man. When the day of creation, God already say it's not good to have man, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And he make a helper. And he asked Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply and create communities. And always, like, throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, I particularly like these verses from the Ecclesiastic 4:9-12. I can read out for you guys. Basically, it says, two are better than one because they have good return for the labor. For if either of them fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another one to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warmth. And how can one be warm alone? If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. It is in God's heart that men are not good to be alone. He created a community. Because of Jesus Christ, we have this community together where we can support each other. We keep each other warm, or in other words, it keep other comfort, like comfort each other, support each other. And one of, like, my favorite, all-time favorite theologian is Bonhoeffer. His book I haven't read all his book, but his book is really thin, but it's so meaty. It was so powerful. You can use it as devotion, but you can also use it as a theology study. The way that he described, you can feel the compassion he has in it. And the way he talked about Christianity, a lot of time, you talk to people, especially non-believer, they will say, oh, it's a personal religion. You know, I respect what you believe in. But, you know, the reality of what God, you know, has church or have decided for Christianity, according to Bonhoeffer, it was really good. It was saying that Christianity is a community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a community. Christianity is happened because of Jesus Christ. We gather, we are called out. The definition or the Greek word for church is call out and gather. We are called out by God. We are called out together in his name. And we are We as a community are in Jesus Christ together. The very fact that we are gathering in this church, we are in Jesus Christ. Whoa, it's kind of high level, right? But it's really, give you really, you know, deep into it. It was like so meaty in it. So what does really mean? Like, what does it really mean, you know, to have a living a life together with one another through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ? One of the outward, you know, manifestations of that togetherness is that unity. Or simply put, it is like what we having it now, church. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he actually described this church more than just a sanctuary, more than just a building where God dwell and have his presence in here. He's describing this church body, this community together as a body of Christ. And in that community, in that body, the head is Jesus Christ, and we are the different parts of the body. And if you can turn to Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, if you need a Bible, just put up your hand, and I'll show you. Pass you a Bible. Okay, Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Who is the head? This is referring to Jesus. From whom the whole body, being fit and held together by what every joint supplies, and according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. It's talking about Jesus being the head, we different part, and we are building up each other's in love. And if you have think about this imagery of a body, what is most important is it has to be synchronized, right? Otherwise, the body won't function properly. You can't have your left arm, left leg go in one direction to the east, and right arm, right leg go to the west, right? So you'll be torn apart, and you're not going anywhere. You are not fully living out the fullness that God has given you. And so one thing that, you know, Jesus being put on the head is giving us direction. And the arm and the legs are different parts of the body are in sync and in agreement or in obedience to the directions of Jesus Christ. Then we can function, or we can live out that fullness that God have destined for each one of us. And in John 17, it say that, you know, when people see that each one of us, Christians, are perfected in unity, they can see, that way God can see that God loves us. Meaning that going back is like we don't know how to love, really. We believe because of God's love us that we are able to pour out our love. And in this body of Christ, there are things that that might need to work out together. And it's because we are able to come together in unity, and because we're binded by love and we're willing to compromise, or we're willing to sacrifice for one another, that people see that unity in us, that then people know it's because God loves us we are able to exhibit this amazing love that couldn't happen anywhere else. And one thing that, you know, when I look at, you know, unity, about this spiritual unity that's supposed to be in this body of Christ, what does it look like, God? What is it? Does it mean that we are doing the same things? Like, you know, we have high churches, like you have ritual masses. I'm not criticizing them, because every liturgy, every step they do, there's meaning behind it. But sometimes people just repeat it, doing the same thing again. Does it mean that unity is like doing the same thing again? My take on it is no, or maybe yes to an extent. Unity is doesn't have to be everyone doing the same thing, but everyone is going into the same direction, can be in a very creative way, in a diversity. And then we have this term of unity and diversity. Like, for example, taking our Sunday service together, we also always repeat, you know, recite the Apostles' Creed as a statement of our faith. We do that every week. To some people, we're like, oh, this is ritual, no good. But the fact is that because our heart is, we are sincerely reciting and professing our faith, then it's okay to be the same. And we have the worship songs and going. Every week can be different. Like this week, we have like Yunus doing the djembe and instead of drums and you know, like different combination, different way that to glorify God. And the oneness that really manifests in a surface, like when I see it, the oneness that we are displaying to the world is that we are one body of Christ, a people who believe in Jesus Christ, coming together to give thanks to God on a Sunday, to celebrate the goodness of God that He has on our life, to receive the word together as a corporate body. So this is the oneness. And the oneness is to show the world that everything is about God and the center is God and we're going to God. And so if some people would say, I hear comments, the sermon is not doing much to me. I think that this is totally, this is not the unity that we're supposed to display. Because our unity is our direction, our praises, our center is towards God. But when become us being benefited, yes, we are being blessed by God throughout the service together. But the unity here, the oneness, is the directions of going to God. I hope you guys can get my point about this oneness. You can do different things. Another example, in terms of, you know, doing local outreach stuff, is God in His commandment, you know, love your neighbor, love the poor. You can go about in, we don't have to all go down the street and do a hunger strike and ask the government to hand out to the poor. We don't have to do it as doing the same thing, but there's many other way, a creative way, a Christians or even a body of Christ can do it together. Individually, we can go down on the street, we see people begging on the street, we can ask them, hey, are you hungry? We can buy them a lunchbox. You can visit people, like our homie outreach, we visit people in the cut room and we talk to them, make friends with the elderly and all this. Last week we have a meeting with the Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor. That group of Christians coming together, writing a recommendation to the government before the chief executive issue his policy address and telling them the situation of the poverty, what you can do. We can, as a Christian, as a body, coming together, do things together. And at the end of the day, we are doing different things, but we are showing that unity. That unity is living out that commandment that we love the poor. And so having a life together is doing what called us in that, displaying that unity it to the world and live and do it not just on our own, but in a life together, in a together setting. And the second point of my message today is with the title On the Way Together. There is this continuous sense, this on the way together, with the continue, it's progressing. It's this element of we are moving on the way. We are progressing, moving forward. And the implication to that, is that each one of us, including me, Pastor Sam, you know, all these people that, you know, in the leadership, every one of us are work in progress. We are Christian, but we're not quite there to have that, reaping the fullness of that salvation. We are on the way together. And if I can just do a quick survey, you know, just looking at even each other's, I love this, like when people, my house chair always like ask me how old am I, and I'll keep silent, and just, because just the fun of it, I don't mind telling them, but because they ask me the whole time, so I just keep in the suspense. So, but one thing that obviously I'm much older than them, so they're hiding my age, that sort of thing, but one thing that I do like to tell people is like my spiritual age, because I'm so much younger in my spiritual walk in terms of age. So I'm going to do a survey. So if you are a baby Christian from 0 to 3 years, can you put up your hand? Cool. Yay. So I pray more will be coming, more new Christians coming and join us in fellowship. 3 to 10. Okay, we have about more than over 10 people. Okay, 10 to 20. 10 to 20, okay. And then over 20 years old Christians. Whoa. And I see some really young ones too over there. So, you know, if you look around, people, we are gathered as a body together. We are at different stages of our walk. I'm not saying that your spiritual age necessarily match your maturity in Christ. I have a sister who told me, like, I'm over 20 years old in my spiritual walk age, but I think I only, like, spiritually speaking, I'm only 7. And I don't know what that 7 mean, but obviously it's not there. And not just being the spiritual age stage being different, our life stage are different. We have parents, we have singles, we have engaged people, dating people, different life stage, different age group. We are facing questions like things differently. The background that we're coming from, the background largely affects the baggages that we carry. And, you know, as we know Christ, we have the salvation of God, but this process of being sanctified by God, being removing all the baggages, take a period of time. And because we all have these baggages, they're bound to be personal clashes with each one another. If you truly living together, closely serving the Lord together, you are rubbing shoulders with each other rather than, you know, just a high and by on a Sunday service. You're doing, actually living a life together as a community. They're bound to be clashes. They're bound to be conflicts. They're bound to be disagreement with each other. Even you love God, but you have different direction of serving God, and you can argue, you will have fight, and there will be unforgiveness. There will be things that, because of your baggages, that get on your nerve, and you just end up hating the brothers. And that is not unheard of when you look at the Bible. But I think it is because that God put us in a community. He's actually giving a chance for us to apply those biblical principles, where can actually take place in our life. And as a result, we can tell the world that, you know, Jesus Christ is true. It works. What he teaches us works. He teaches us as a community. He teaches us about love, about patience, about perseverance. And he's putting us, you know, in the Bible was saying, iron sharpen iron as men sharpen each other's. And that's how, as a community, we are growing together. And I remember, you know, for the last, I think, 8 years at least, every year, I love going to mission trip. I at least go on one mission trip. And like every time God showed me amazing things. So come and join the Sijan trip. I remember this particular time. I went for a different trip, and each trip is different, and a different blessing received from the trip. I think remember this one particular difficult one, and we have this member just basically get on the nerve of everyone, just rubbing each other wrong, in a wrong way, and I was so annoyed. Like, there's a time that I have to bite my tongue to say certain things, and I was really frustrated, and so I end up, you know, one night I just go into my room and pray for my roommate, and it's like, oh, I don't know what to do with this person. It's just so annoying. And so we pray, and suddenly just God told me that, hey, this is church. This is the body of Christ. That church is made up of people that of different walks of life. They have different things that they're facing in their life, and therefore they become who they are now. And to live out, you know, God, you know, what he taught us, the community of love, and this is the opportunity right in front of you that you need to practice love on this brothers and sisters. And so at that, I was like, okay, wow, this is profound, in a sense that with the conflicts that God showed me, that, you know, to really live out a Christian faith, to really profess that there is unity in the body of Christ, I need to love the brothers and sisters who are different from us, who will get on our nerve, irritate us, or even offend us, or even they sin against us. They do horrible things to us and sin against us. But yet, we are called to love them. And it takes a while to go through the process, but I felt that is, you know, God is teaching us as in a community. We are all work in progress. We are at different stage that, because the fact that, you know, God showed me that I am still work in progress, I also stumble, and God forgive me and give me a lot of grace. So when I look at other people doing things wrong, I have more compassion on them, because I know that, you know, God still loves them regardless what they do. God still gives them second chance. even though they are now Christians, God still gives them second chance when they truly go before God and repent and we turn away from the sin. God still embraces them. And so then who am I to judge them at this particular stage that they are living in? And you know, when I first become Christians, I meet different people in the church, and some people would tell me, you know, I don't go to church anymore because there's just a load of hypocrite there. They are speaking about one thing and they're living a life of another way when they get out of the church. I have people tell me that, you know, I don't go to church because, just like I said before, the sermon doesn't really do much to me. I think here is like, this is totally, totally wrong, because as Bonhoeffer is saying, Christianity is a community through Christ and in Jesus Christ. We gather together because of Jesus Christ. We gather together for Jesus Christ. So if we do hear from God and God's told us that, you know, this is the community I want you to be in, whether you like it or not, you are to stay for better and worse. And really, so when I look at like, people turn away, I would just say that, you know, those people that turn you away from church, they are still work in progress. God have not given up on them. And so I'm not giving up on this church as well. So I was particularly impressed by one of the pastors who shared about, you know, church conflicts and about pastor not preaching well. And I remember, or the pastor's not doing right in the church. I remember the teaching that I received at the time is that, you know what, as a church member, you should first, instead of confronting or telling the pastor that, A, you're not doing well, or your leader, you're not doing well, the first thing that you should do is pray for that pastor or that leader. It's true, it's a community together. We are not there to destroy, but we're there to edify one another. And by praying for your pastor every day, please, actually will help. Yeah, and we are growing together. Even like me, I'm growing up, still learning, getting better each day. And the second thing that you do is by embracing, you know, by loving them, just as I was sharing about this experience in the mission trips, that by enlarging our capacity to love that brother and sister that get on your nerve, to able to say that, God, I forgive that person. It is a way that, you know, we testify, you know, God's truth is working in our life. And another thing that I also want to share about, you know, about this togetherness, that growing together. All my family migrated to Australia a long time ago. And I remember, you know, we have a garden. We have rose and we have lily, like a flower bed and garden on one side, on the front yard. And at the backyard, you know, like all the Chinese family, we grow Chinese vegetable. So we have this particular vegetable that we can actually harvest every 2 or 3 weeks to make dumpling. It's really yummy. It's called gao choy. It's like we make dumpling out of that. And I remember, you know, I'm not a person who really loves gardening. So I don't really do gardening. I was just told to do gardening, right? So I remember, you know, what I usually do is just turn on the tap and the sprinkle, the water come out, and then turn it off. And then when I see, you know, pests that's on the rose, and I'll just get a spray and just kill them. And that's all I do. I don't do much. But, you know, it grows on its own. And you know, the backyard, the vegetable grow every, you know, can harvest it every 3 weeks. Good. And the roses is the, I really don't like those pests. You can see them crawling on the branches and all this. Really terrible when you look at it. So it takes more care to take care of the roses. And for lily, I think they pretty strong. They can grow on its own and you have nice fragrance. And I think this picture of this garden is that we are created by God differently. Everyone is different. You can be the Chinese vegetable that could provide you with good food. You can be the roses that is nice but need a lot of care. You can be a lily that produce nice fragrance. And every one of us is in this one garden together. And in the Bible, it say that, you know, some of us like water the plant, plant the seed, some water it, but what made it grow is God who growing all these different plants together. God is growing each one of us together. And we are different. That make life so much interesting. That make life so exciting, because you can see that the same message sowing on the seed, you can see the same fellowship, people are blossom in different way, and plus people blossom at different time. And so I think one thing about growing together is that we need to have the heart that we're willing to be growing together. And so my invitation to you today is that let's make it intentional. Not just come Sunday and hang out and then go to house church and we call this growing together. Let's do something even, you know, more intentional. One thing my local outreach core team, I have a core team who come together like a think tank together and plan different outreaches and then have different individual outreach going on. One thing that we are working on and we're trying to be is having an intentional Sabbath. That we know that God in the Bible tells us that we need to rest. But yet, with the busy schedule, with work and then ministry, we love God, we serve, and then we forget about rest. So we are trying, we are slowly not there yet, but we're trying to look us like the team, intentionally looking at the individual timetable and consciously setting aside one day that we are resting. We are having time with God. We hang out with God. We can go lunch with God or having a burger with God, whatever, but on that particular day. And I making an attempt, not quite there yet, but we made an attempt like an online forum, like things that we can actually share what we're going to do on that Sabbath day. So give ideas to one another to encourage. And having that intentional is that we are intentionally, as a group of people, coming together, intentionally live out the way of Jesus have taught us. You know, if you are working adult, I suggest, you know, why don't you, like, whoever, you know, in your field, like bankers, lawyers, or teachers, you come together and reflect on your life and say, share what you're going through, struggle or challenges, that thing, and brainstorm together how you can apply Jesus' principle in your life. And that intentional act actually help us to grow together as this community of Christ. And last Friday, I was still working on my sermons, not up to the third point, and Kenny was asking me, hey, are you going to preach on evangelism? Because this is your thing, right? I was like, okay, sure, because he have a video to that he planned every week. So I was like, okay, I better preach on the evangelism. So my third point is about witnessing together. We are, as a group, coming together, witness for God. I want to widen this scope about witnessing. Witnessing is not just going down the street and tell God love you or yes, so oily. It's one way, but doesn't mean everyone's just doing the same thing, right? We heard about unity in diversity. We can do multiple things to witness God. And one of the things that I learned about missions, they talk about, you know, from the textbook ideas, they say that as a church, there's different roles. They identify five different roles. There are sender who send and take care of the missions. There are people in the church who mobilize people to go on missions. They are the person who goer, who actually go to the mission field. There is also a welcomer who are in the church welcoming people from different nations and to get to know Christ. Different way to, and also, what's the fifth one? Oh, skip my mind. But anyway, so the point is that there is different role that we can play. And if I can use this time to just a quick promo commercial time, but using our Red Light District ministry that we're going to launch in March as an example, that we can come together and witness together. We call this ministry called SP Light. We want people to see the lights of God through the ministry in the Red Light District. And so people can see the good deed and glorify the Father in the heaven. And we are looking for different people. We're looking for people are on the side intercessing. So you may not feel comfortable to share or to talk to the girls on the street or the Johns on the street, but we believe prayer is important. So we ask that people be there on site praying as the ministry is going forth. We're also looking for people that I say is an offline intercessor that praying behind you know, as and when, like during the ministry, or pray for the ministry all over all together. And we're looking for intercessor. The other thing that we're looking for, obviously, is that people going down. So we have like been going since last December, almost every week now, just a small group starting, experimenting, going down, and really amazing story that you can hear from them later on as we have the testimony time. But to making friends with them, because obviously it's not one day go there and tell Jesus love you and they believe Christ. It's a relationship evangelism. You build relationship, you show them God's love, and gradually they come to Christ. And the fact that they're still living in sin and struggling in sin, and you're walking together with them, even during this time. So we are looking for guys and also girls that, you know, go down to the street. Another thing that we are looking for is the baker, because we go down and we want to. Every week we bless them with cookies or muffins and bake groups. So that would be good that, you know, if one of you can bake, you can come together and join the ministry. And this is what I call witnessing together. You don't have to be doing the same thing, but yet you are sharing God's love by baking groups, baking like cookies and things that we can hand out to the ladies on the street. And not just the lady too, we reach out to the bouncer, we talk to the mama-san and all these people on the street. And so witnessing together is not just one track, but multiple way that we can contribute together. And I want to spend a bit of time just sharing this really long testimony, because it's really amazing testimony that's happening in SP. As you know, we have a homeless outreach ministry that reach out to the homeless and elderly. We start off with going, you know, Thursday night and Saturday, and we now extend to Sunday. And we call ourselves, instead of homeless, it's kind of funny to call it homeless, because we're visiting more homeless. So the group, we call it Homie, and we have a Facebook page too, with pictures that we take that are doing the outreach there and news on there. And so Homie team is really amazing. It's just I just say it's nothing of me. I just see how God really using this opportunity to bring people, and how they activate one another and encouraging each other. It's truly amazing, and I'm so blessed with what they do. And I just want to share this particular testimony. It seems a bit long, but I just really want to pour out with you this morning. It started off with one person's small obedience, and her name is Eunice. And Eunice, you know, it was a day on a Tuesday night. It's what raining, it's wet and cold, and have a long day of work. So she has some time to kill before the house church. And so she decided, you know, why don't I go to IFC more sleeping. Hot coffee and reading a devotion book, a Christian book, and enjoying this time. It's great, right? To have fellowship with God, you know, drinking your coffee away. It's nice in a cold, wet day. And then, so she is making her way from the MTR to the IFC mall. And as she walking past, she saw someone begging on the street. And the usual things for us to do, I'm pretty bad, because I have this prejudice against beggar, especially if they look like they're from China. And immediately my reaction was like, this is a professional beggar. So I just walk off. But obviously Eunice is so much more compassionate than me. So she walked past, and she actually put some money in the bowl, and then she quickly go to the coffee shops. And as soon as she left, the guy, God suddenly spoke to her. And God say, Eunice, you are going to sit comfortable in the mall reading your Christian book over some pricey coffee while this man is sitting out there in wet and in cold and begging for money. Immediately, you know, she know that this is a moment that she has to obey. So she felt that she has to be next to a man, because this is where Jesus would be at this time of. So she decided to obey, so she went back, and she actually crouched down and sitting next to the man. And as soon as she sit down and he saw the man, the lower part of his limb was missing. So he is a disabled beggar on the street. And the Holy Spirit really, really do move her heart, and she really felt compelled to know about this man and about his story. So to break the ice, she simply asked these questions. How long have you been here today? Just a simple question, You've been here the whole day. How is it? Like, she asked a simple question, is, how long have you been here today? And surprisingly, the man was quite open, and willing, friendly, and so they start talking. And she found out that this man is Mr. Wong, and he's from China, and he's on a one-week visa. So, and he also told Eunice that, you know, when he was 16, his parents died, and so since then, he has been wandering on the street to make a living. And he does want to get out of China because the police in China, they have tough measures on panhandlers. So he do travel to different places to beg, and Hong Kong is his favorite place because the police are nicer. So after, during the course of it, Eunice offered to get him dinner. And each time, you know, the man was just saying, no, I will use the money that I earn on the street to buy my own dinner. And just right before she left, she found out that, you know, this guy liked painting and drawing. And you know, it's a really small facts of life that you probably don't take much significance, but it turned out to be something even greater. And so when she left, God actually spoke to Eunice again. And God told Eunice, say, that I'm going to give Mr. Wong a very memorable time in Hong Kong. And so immediately, Eunice was like, lifting her eyebrows and thinking, what would God do to give him a memorable time in Hong Kong? And in her mind, the whole time is, maybe I can get him to go to St. Barnabas, the homeless shelter centers, and maybe I can get people to, or even herself, to share the gospel with Mr. Wong, and that would be memorable. But obviously, God have even bigger plan than that. And so Eunice went to Hao Church, and that day she also WhatsApped the homie team and asked, like, if anyone speaks Mandarin, because this guy's from mainland. And she also connected with Janella. She is the artist, and she said, oh, why don't you get some art pieces and go down and talk to the guy? And the guy told him that he would be there on Thursday night. So after that, all three of them, Janella, James, and Eunice, went down again on Thursday night and talked to the guy. And they talk about arts, they talk about his life, and that he even told us that the team that he go to different country to beg, not just Hong Kong, he go to Thailand to beg. So it's really interesting. But as the conversation going, that he starts showing the artwork to the team. And I must say that when he actually showed the team the artwork, everyone was speechless and stunned. And I just want to use Janelle's word because she's an artist, so she has a better description on the art. So basically what Janelle said here is like, man, the way he described painting, you could smell the passion that he has for his craft, even before seeing any of his work. As he took his painting out, I really did not expect to be blown away the way that I did. They were such gorgeous, dedicated pieces. Every brushstroke was intentional, and every painting had life. You know, to us, like, these are the beautiful painting, the gift that God given this man. But yet, in his eye, he did not see it. Totally, his painting can fetch money, but he didn't see the talent and gift there. What he says, like, my work is not worth any money. And so they talk a bit more, talk about more art. And again, Eunice asked, you know, why don't you come by on Saturday to our church and have dinner together? And again, the man say no. But at the end, they were able to pray together with Mr. Wong. And Eunice was slightly disappointed, asking God, hey, what is this memorable thing that you promised Mr. Wong? It's surely just that, praying for him. And so they found out, like, you know, how, because Mr. Wong is going to is staying in Hong Kong for 1 week, and so he's going to be still on the IFC bridges over there on Sunday. So the team planned to meet Mr. Wong on a Sunday night after the service. And this time we have James, Janella, and Eunice cannot make it, so Yvain went down with them. And so they're talking again, and the guy start drawing in front of them. You know, this guy was like really not proud of his drawing. He didn't think much of it, but he is comfortable enough to start drawing. And I think it takes a lot of when Janelle, when he describing in her testimony, he say that you can see his trembling hand over the blank page, considering, pondering where to put the first stroke. Because as soon as he put the first stroke, the depth of pain will show the world that who he is. But yet he willing to take that leap of faith, to take that step and show, reveal his vulnerability in front of everyone. And this is precious. For someone who is not proud of themselves, start drawing in front of strangers that he never did it before. The thing, as I ponder and thinking about this, it must be because over the last few days, our people are showing Mr. Wong a genuine love and respect. They're treating him as equal. They're sharing about love. They're sharing about art, things that he likes. And because of that, he's encouraged, and he really willing to take that step to show himself to the world. And amazing thing happened. People walking past, tons of people walking past and look at his painting. A lot of people marvel. And there are people coming and say, can I buy your painting? And every time he was to say, no, I just want to, and he just want to bless people, and he just want to give them free away. And towards the end that... it was just as he was painting and everyone looking at him. And you can really see that God is doing a redemptive work. He is somewhere, he is a man created by God in his likeness and in his image. He is gifted by God with this artistic talent, which he totally lost and didn't even know until that this encounter that he started to open up and show. And he realized that he are more. And people offering his money, obviously, you will think about it, like he's begging on the street, of course he will get the money. But no, when you look at it, God is really revealing to us that he is not there to looking for money. What the deeper needs in this man is the appreciation and the recognition of who he is as a man. And that day, I believe that God restored him, restored his image. We saw him as a man and how God created him. And towards the end, another exciting thing is that James took the bold step and lead him to Christ, and Mr. Wong came to Christ on that day. Amen. And it's like a redemption happening on that time. And this is not the end of the story, because they were walking past by and all this, and these two total people, one of them say that they're not meant to be there, but they so happen and see our team was there talking to Mr. Wong. And they end up sitting down and not doing much, just sitting down and observing our team as their interaction with Mr. Wong. And at the end of that, one of them turned out to be a Christian. And they are so impressed and so encouraged and so refreshed, is that I can actually see you guys living in Jesus' way. This is what Jesus would have done. I'm really amazed that there are Christians who are out there to living out what Jesus called them to. And that, in turn, really inspired, you know, people walking past by. And, you know, in the Bible, Romans 8:28, which is one of the first words that I memorized, not the GIC verses, but this is like the first verse that, this is so good, I have to learn it all by heart. So this is the verse. It says that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. So this ripple effect really just not just impacting on Mr. Wong or the two people passing by, but it's also impacting on our team. And so I'm going to read out part of their testimony, some of the reflection they have. Really, like reading this little part, it doesn't do justice to the whole event. And so talk to them afterward, you know, ask them to send you this collaboration of testimony. So I'm going to read it out with for you. Actually, it calls to my mind this morning, should I get them to read it on the stage? But I probably think they won't do that. So I'm going to read it out. Eunice, he wrote, sitting on the bridge with Mr. Wong showed us that God does not see panhandler as the good-for-nothing scumbag that we too often believe them to be. They are created in his image, real people with personality, talents, and story to tell. I'm still staggered by the change of event that happened after Tuesday night. I thank God for gently rebuke my choice to get comfortable rather than to love the poor. I'm humbled by the fact that I did not even get to witness Mr. Wong's moment of salvation, yet so encouraged that God would still use my small act of obedience for something. The thing that drew me most through is that God really didn't do what he said he would do. He said he would give Mr. Wong a memorable time in Hong Kong, and what happened on the bridge that Sunday night was nothing short of memorable. Next, Janella, she was saying, remember like she's supposed to bring down her artwork to share with the fellow artists. She wrote here, I end up not even showing him my art piece. Who am I, thinking that because I have a formal education, that I was in any position to show him something? Instead, he shared with me his heart for art, which inspired me so much more than any praise could do. There were many other beautiful things that happened last night, and four of us writing and speaking about it really doesn't do what we saw justice. Maybe that is why Jesus said, come and see. This whole experience showed me when we listen and obey him, this is how we truly walk the way that Jesus died for us. And is there really any other way to truly live but to be his hand and feet? God's different body parts, the different body parts that God used as one is to bring love to the brother and sister, is to bring God himself to the brother and sister who are right before our eyes. Man, we are the one who end up being blessed. Yvain, at the time, I was thinking he can totally sell his painting for a living. Why didn't he do that? I was overwhelmed by the mixture of talent and gift and humility that he demonstrated in his folded body. Unfair was all I can think of. It suddenly clicked in me that I have judged him by my own pride, thinking that money would make his life better. But I have never put myself in his shoes. Born with a defect in his body, which money probably could not fix. Painting, drawing, people affection, approval are more important to him. My soul was greatly touched. I thought I saw Jesus in disguise, living poor and living in among the poor, in the poor, and affecting people's lives with his own life. James, he wrote that, what impacted me most was he recounted his experience begging in different countries, where he mentioned that police in certain countries was corrupted and demand money from him to continue begging on the streets. I thought this practice was sick and seemed to be an epitome of oppression towards the poor, a great abomination to the Lord. Here, I think God really opened a glimpse of understanding, opened an understanding that poverty is really not just a state of condition. Behind it, there is the systemic structural sins that is at play in the society. It's the society coming together, making the situation worse. And I think God starts showing James this perspective. And on a side note, I didn't mention in the main testimony, you know, for James, he can speak Mandarin, but his Mandarin, according to him, is not that good. He's not a native speaker. So for him, he feels really not confident when he shared the gospel. And after meeting Mr. Wong that night, he go home and went on to the internet and search, and he downloaded, tried to learn the sinner prayer in Chinese, but just he's really not confident about it. And you know what? When you have a heart for God, you want to live out of God. God, as I shared this morning earlier, this vertical fellowship with God, God is walking with you together on this journey. In this particular time, during that time, God encouraged him in different ways. God encouraged, reminded him this testimony of a pastor, I think it's in Singapore, that were able to share and let someone in the Christ on the street with his very limited Mandarin. And that reminder, comfort, and encouraged James to speak the word. And then even on the way he's struggling to, wrestling in his heart whether to share the gospel, someone actually passed him a tract on the street that day to encourage him. And so for him to come to a point, obeying, not sure, and then leading the people, Mr. Wong, to Jesus, it's a beautiful journey that we are growing together as a team together. We are going together with God together. And I really believe this testimony, it was so beautiful. It's happened in SP. It's not some far-fetched country or people serving in the slum or anything. It's right here. It's right outside IFC Mall, right at the bridge. that we can live out truly. We can have a life, a community life together. We are growing together. We are witnessing together. And this is so beautiful. And so, you know, I'm constantly reminded, even for myself too, is that the passage from James is like, when we look in the mirror, we look who we are and we turn away. We never get changed. And I really want to encourage you. What I share with you is beautiful. What I share with you, these ideas or this mandate from God to have this communal life, community life together, we need to take intentional actions. And so if you have been a spectator, you've been coming Sunday service, been listening to nice sermons, a worshiping song really touching you, you have been just a spectator, I invite you to take that step to be a participator. Focusing, you know, just passively sitting and being a consumer, I invite you to be a committed contributor. So it's an intentional effort. It happened not just in church. Community, as defined by Bonhoeffer, is a Christianity defined by Bonhoeffer, community through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. Doesn't just happen in church. It had happened in your office, in your home. I know that, you know, we have Sunday service. Pastor Sam sometimes share with us. He have his own service with the kids together. They can do things together and celebrate God. And so community doesn't just happen in church. It can happen in everywhere. And so at this time, maybe we'll just spend some time, just, you know, your own dialogue with God. Christianity is not a personal religion, but it's a community, a life together. So let's pondering on that and really ask God to speak to you. That small, still voice speaking to you. We don't have to take big step together, but we can take a small step together with one another.
Jesus.
share my message, I always like to use the Franciscan benedictions. So I'm going to read out the Franciscan benedictions to close our service together. But I just really invite you to really have that word cut into your heart and soak into your heart, and let's have living out what Jesus has called us together. So how it goes, that may God bless us with discomfort at easy answer, half truth and superficial relationship, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at justice, oppressions and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, salvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what other claims cannot be done. May this word of benediction really bless you and cut into your heart and have it a transformative impact on each one of us as we leave the sanctuary and we walk out to the street, that we are living a life together, we are on the way together with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and with this community of faith together. Amen. God bless you. So that's the end of our service, and there's refreshment at the back. If you are physically any infirmities in your body, you can come up to the front, and the well team will pray for you. Have a good day.